The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
What we can do is make sure that prior to a politician receiving communion, that we communicate with their office in advance to make sure that there is no scandal to the faithful, which is exactly what is happening. When a Catholic politician who is 100% not only supportive of abortion, but almost seems to celebrate it, it causes scandal to the faithful and confusion to everyone else surrounding the situation and watching it. So we have to be, as the scriptures say, cunning as serpents, but innocent as doves. We need to be better in dialoguing with politicians prior to them receiving communion. Politicians love to play God, and I have no trouble reminding them that they are not, and that an unborn child has rights, and we have a responsibility to speak up and protect it.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was Father Leo Petalinghug commenting on the Pope's recent comments about communion and abortion. I want to talk to you about something that, I don't know, it might irritate you a little bit. It might even make you angry. I don't know. I don't know what your politics are. You know, people ask me, you know, where do I stand on issues? I often tell them I look at issues through the framework of my Catholic faith. You know, and when it comes to certain issues, it might cross the aisle, you know, the death penalty or immigration or life. I mean, there's so many different issues here that, you know, as a Catholic, I think that's how we have to look at life, right? I get very disenchanted. To be honest, I get angry almost. Frustrated is probably a better word at Catholic politicians who wear their Catholicity like it's a badge. They rattle their rosary beads. They love the moniker of being Catholic, and yet they're so disingenuous. You know, they lie. It's fundamentally what it is. It's a lie about who they really are. You know, I think the actions of an individual speak volumes about really what they believe and where they stand. And you know that. I mean, don't tell me what you believe. Show me what you believe, right? You know, when you see people like Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, others who profess being Catholic with their mouths and yet their actions, they demonstrate something diametrically opposed to everything that they just said. I don't know. It's hard. Hard for me to get my head around. You know, as you get further into the Biden administration, I think it's becoming clearer that despite all of his claims to being a devout Catholic, he has a serious difficulty with being a faithful Catholic, a faithful son of the church. And again, I'll say this again, like this is not to be partisan, but you know, you might love Joe Biden, and that's fine. We want to hear from you today, you know, and you know, you might hate him. I don't know. I want to talk about the faith. I want to talk about faith in action. I want to talk about what you believe and ultimately what you do. I've talked about earlier in the year after he was elected, his support of the so-called Equality Act. And that act would force churches, would force religious businesses to hire people who actually oppose what those churches teach and what those religious, you know, business owners believe. Imagine having to hire, you know, I don't know, a drag queen to be your director of religious education, you know, teach your kids, you know, the faith. The optics of that, you know, it's problematic. And we could go through, I mean, I could do a whole shit. We could do 3 hours on what's in the Equality Act. That's problematic. But then remember Joe Biden pressed for what he called. And again, I just want to always put this out front. He's a Catholic. He's a Catholic man, right? He goes to church on Sunday. He pressed for what he called codifying Roe versus Wade, getting Congress to pass a bill that actually puts it into law that abortion is legal through all 9 months of pregnancy for whatever the reason. They want to protect abortion in this country so rabidly that they want to codify it. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she's another self-declared devout Catholic, loves her Catholic faith, promised that she'll have one brought to the floor. How does that sync with your Catholic faith? I mean, what's the church teach about life and defending it and protecting it? Is the church all about codifying Roe v. Wade? Is it all about abortion? I mean, where does this disconnect come in? Remember, he put the head of Health and Human Services, the former California Attorney General, Xavier Becerra, the man who sued the Little Sisters of the Poor for not following his state regulations requiring that the Little Sisters of the Poor pay for abortions and contraceptions. Why should the Little Sisters of the Poor pay for contraception? Why should they have to pay for abortion? Come on, can it get any crazier? You know, and again, just to put it in perspective, federal law in the U.S. Supreme Court prohibited that. You get Becerra in there. It's frustrating, isn't it? Everyone is just waiting for the federal regulation that will send the Little Sisters of the Poor back to federal court. We need to pray for them. But ever since he was a senator, right? Ever since he was sworn in, Joe Biden supported the Hyde Amendment, right? And if you're not familiar with the Hyde Amendment, it's a thumbnail. It's an amendment that forbids the spending of federal money on abortions, right? That's a good thing. Joe Biden was against, you know, he supported the Hyde Amendment. He was on the right side of that issue. I say bravo, Senator Biden. Good for you, right? That was, well, it was a bipartisan bill for many years. And, you know, it was always upheld. 2 years ago, when he was running for president, he suddenly reversed his position. And now he opposes it. What is it about power? What is it about fame? What is it about these fleeting things that politicians are so willing to sell their souls for? I mean, doesn't it frustrate you? Don't you feel the same way? So, okay, you're all, for years, you're okay with Hyde. Now you're not. Why? Because your party has become even more entrenched, even more supportive, more rabid in enshrining a culture of death in this country. One other thing here, too. I'm going to bring Dr. Paul Kengor on. He wrote a great piece, and he's calling anyone who voted for Joe Biden to do reparation. That's what he's saying. We'll talk about it. I want to talk about reparation because I do think that penance and reparation for our country is an important thing. There was the filibuster rule, and that requires 60 votes in Senate for most bills to pass. And Biden had always been in support of it, right? Until now. So as I'm sitting back today and I'm thinking about the things from the Equality Act to the filibuster, I'm thinking if the filibuster is dropped, what happens, right? Why would he change his position? The filibuster is dropped, then the majority will be able to pass whatever bill that they want to pass and just, you know, with a simple one-person majority. And that includes billions of dollars in abortion spending money, right? It's spending billions of dollars for abortion. Right now, we know that, you know, the House is pretty much split. And the Senate is 50-50, if you think about it, except they got the tie-breaking vote with Kamala Harris, and you know where she stands on these issues. But, you know, let's talk about this for a moment. Dr. Kengor wrote a piece. We're going to put it up on our Twitter page, at Drew Mariani Show, and I hope you'll go check this out. Go read it, all right? It's brilliant, I think, because I think it's challenging for you and me. The headline is, Catholics Who Voted for Biden, Time to Make Reparation. I think it was initially posted on Crisis Magazine. We'll link over to it for you. I read through it today, and I think he brings up some great points. I'd love to hear from you. You're more than welcome to join us. And, of course, Dr. Kengor is the author of numerous books. We've had him on many times. The Devil and Karl Marx is one of his latest, but a gifted writer. And, again, he's saying to you, if you voted for Joe Biden, time to make reparation. And before you turn me off, why don't you listen to what he has to say, and let's talk about it. You might agree, you might disagree. You're more than welcome to join the conversation here at 888-914-9149. Doctor, good to have you back. Thank you for your writing. Thanks for this article.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. Well, you know, somebody's got to do it.
Did you take a lot of heat for this one? What was the reaction to it?
No, well, the reaction has actually been very, very positive because I wrote this as somebody who didn't vote for Donald Trump in 2016. And as I say in the column, I was convinced in 2016 that there's no way that Donald Trump could possibly be pro-life, right? I mean, here is this New York playboy billionaire who had this very libertine playboy lifestyle. And, you know, all of this talk about him suddenly being pro-life, I didn't believe it. He'd have to prove it to me. Well, you know, he proceeded over 4 years to be, in terms of action and judicial appointments, a really remarkable pro-life president. It was very, very surprising. He completely proved me wrong on that. And I also wrote this from the point of view of, I know a lot of people who are not just pro-life Catholics, but pro-life Republicans, pro-life Republican Catholics, pro-life Republican Protestants, mm-hmm. who voted for Joe Biden because they didn't like Donald Trump. They didn't like Trump's behavior. They didn't like the tweets and everything right. else. And they convinced themselves as well, Drew, that Biden, having once supported the Hyde Amendment, although by July 2019, he completely reversed on that, in the middle of a campaign in Atlanta, it was. And he had also reversed on so many other positions. He was clearly getting worse and worse on abortion. But they convinced themselves that, well, you know, maybe Biden won't be awful on abortion, right? Hillary Clinton would have been really bad. Maybe Biden won't be awful. Well, he has been awful on abortion. And what really got me here, Drew, so you know, we were treated to this sad spectacle. You all of a sudden we get this monumentally important bill and victory for the long-suffering pro-life movement. And I'm talking about the Texas heartbeat bill, right? Banning abortions up until you can hear an unborn baby's heartbeat. And not only was that bill passed, but it went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and at least so far, you had five votes at the Supreme Court that are giving it the green light. And the five votes are one Alito, yeah. one Justice Clarence Thomas, and then, ready for this, folks, the three Trump appointees,
yeah.
Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. And if Hillary Clinton had won in 2016, you would not have had those three. This vote would have been 7-2 the other way. Yeah. So it's 5-4. And so we have this suddenly, this great moment for the pro-life movement. I mean, Drew, this is what we've been waiting for 40 years for this, right? Going back to 1973. And here comes the Catholic president of the United States, a Roman Catholic, a lifelong professing Catholic. And he says not only that he's against this Texas bill, but that he's going to throw, quote, the whole of government, unquote, against it. He said he's going to take HHS, the Justice Department, quote, my best lawyers at the Justice Department, unquote. He's going to throw everything at it proactively. By the way, if only he would have been this proactive when it came to the Taliban in Afghanistan, right? But now all of a sudden he's aggressive. He's marshaling all the forces, you know, alert, staunch, steadfast, ready to mount an offensive, undeterred. Our Catholic president is going to throw the whole of the government against this Texas bill. He's going to do everything that he can to, you know, crush the baby in the cradle here, right? It's shocking. And so what I'm saying in this piece is that if you voted for Joe Biden as a pro-lifer, mm-hmm. you need to now step forward and do something about this. Right? You need to come, you need to call him. You need to say, Mr. President, look, I'm a pro-life Catholic. I didn't like Donald Trump, but I voted for you. But sir, you can't do this.
Yeah.
You can't do this. You have to stop. You know, this is bad for our church. This is bad for the country. This is bad for the culture. You need to now step forward. And I'm telling you, if I had voted for Biden in 2020, I swear to God, all right, I would be stepping forward right now, sick to my stomach, out there trying to make amends for this. If you did this, you have moral complicity in what's going on in Washington and the White House. You need to step forward and make reparations for this.
Let's do this, Doc. We'll take a few calls. If you want to join us, if you want to sound off, the number's 888-914-9149. Let's start with Susie in Madison, Wisconsin. She's got some comments for you.
Hi,
Susie, good
Drew.
Afternoon. Hi.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Hi.
I love what this. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can perfectly.
Can you hear?
Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah.
Okay. I love what you're saying, and yes, I did vote for Biden. And I will. Thank you. I will write to him about this. But
good.
I truly believe that Joe Biden is a Catholic. I think my mother used to say, you are what you hang with. And I think Joe Biden has hung with a lot of Democrats that have taken that position, abortion at all costs. I know many pro-choice Catholics because they've had other experiences know, I'm old. I'm, you know, in my late 60s. And they've known people years ago that used coat hangers for abortions on their own. And they don't want to go back to that. So they are pro-choice because of that. And there are, you know, the rare cases where there is incest or there is rape, and they want them to have the not have to do the back alley stuff. So I really like Joe Biden, and I really believe that, you know, Donald Trump wasn't truthful about very much, and we don't
all right,
know whether
Susie, let's,
he,
let's talk,
you know,
Susie,
got
let's...
somebody pregnant, he'd get a, have her get an abortion.
Yeah, I don't know whether, yeah, I don't know what he has done or what he would do, but let's talk about that point, Doctor. Sure. Let's address some of these issues for you, Susie. So you would rather have Joe Biden, who wants to reverse the Hyde Amendment, Mexico City policies, he's just, you know, going to throw the full weight of government to advance a culture of death over a president, let's take the politics aside, who wants to protect the most vulnerable amongst us. I mean, how do you come to that particular point? I don't get that, other than the fear that it's going to go back to back alley abortions if this goes away. We should be against abortion altogether. But Susie, I'll let you respond. And Paul, I want you to also jump in.
And sure, I am against abortion. And that's, okay, you know, my personal position. But I know I'm not the only one in the world here. The world, unlike Donald Trump, where the world rotated around him as a narcissist, the world does not rotate around me. And so I realize that other people have differences of opinion. And I am a very pro-life person, but I recognize that other people disagree.
Right,
and
well,
I thought at the time that Donald Trump was a very dangerous, maniacal narcissist.
Yeah, I don't think you were alone, Susie. Let's talk about this for a moment, though, before we go too far. And Dr. Kengor, this is that old position that other politicians have often used. Look, I'm personally against abortion, but this is what my constituents want us to do. That's Susie's position, and she also pointed out that, you know, she's reflective, I think, of a large population of the audience. There's a lot of people who just could not stand Donald Trump because of how arrogant he seemed. And they're willing to put personality and all the foibles that this man had before morality and principle. And I just don't get that.
Well, look, I think Susie, look, this is a good call. She's very sincere. I obviously don't agree with everything there, but I really appreciate the fact that she started off by saying that she will voice to Joe Biden her disapproval of this, and that has to happen. I'm not looking to change her mind on how she votes and all these other issues and all these different perspectives. My point here is very simple: that if you as a pro-lifer voted for Biden, especially as a pro-life Catholic, you got to step forward right now, and I mean, you have a stake in this, right? You've got to step forward and say, "Hey, Mr. President, stop this." And before it gets even worse, because he seems to be drifting further and further off to the left. There was a point, Drew, when Biden in the 80s would have been considered somewhat of a moderate on the abortion issue, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, at a score of 1 to 100, he would have gotten, you know, maybe a 30 or a 40, right? But that's compared to like Hillary and Kamala Harris, and people would have gotten like a 0. But the more you allow somebody to be influenced, like he apparently is, like Susie said, by his surroundings, by the people around him, if you don't stop him, he's just going to get worse and worse. And this has actually happened to the Democratic Party as a whole. As I point out in this article, in the early 1970s, the parties, Drew, were split on the abortion issue. There were just as many pro-life Democrats as there were pro-life Republicans. Believe it or not, Teddy Kennedy was once pro-life. And then the Democratic Party continued to drift in the pro-choice direction, and all along, traditional pro-life Catholics who were Democrats were voting for them simply because they had D's next to their name. And as they did that, the party went further and further to the left. The pro-life Catholic Democrats still continue to vote for him. And now you can count on one hand, I mean, literally at most like five pro-life Democrats in the entire U.S. House of Representatives, because their voters have allowed them to get away with it. What I'm saying now is don't let Biden get away with this. So I appreciate that at least Susie has stepped forward and said that she's going to speak up. I hope she does. She and she better do it quick and better do it loudly, because this is a train wreck that Biden's on right now.
Susie, thank you. I'm grateful for your call. It was a good call. I appreciate your honesty too, and I know you're a good person and you care much about the country.
Let's.
Terry in South Milwaukee. Good afternoon. It's good to have you on the air with us.
Hi. I completely and totally agree and applaud with Susie's comments, because there's so much put on the anti-abortion thing and nothing about feeding our young and having health care for them and providing help for them. I mean, it's like, okay, don't have an abortion. Okay, goodbye. Take care of yourself. And some of these women don't have the ability, and I agree, they didn't have to get pregnant. However, let's not criticize anti-abortion until we also say health care for all, and let's take care of our babies after they're born.
Yeah, I don't think anybody disagrees with making sure everybody has health care. I think that's important. And, of course, we have to take care of our children as well. But, this whole issue of choosing making life secondary, I don't understand, Terry, where you come in with that position.
I come from the fact that Republicans would not put together the bill that Joe Biden did with health care and with support for children. And yet we all are supposed to hate him and tell him he's horrible because he supports abortion. You know, if you were to have Donald Trump again, we might not have an abortion thing, but we certainly wouldn't be getting this new package that helps the low-income people. And I'm not one. I'm in my late 60s. Mm-hmm. I also agree with Susie about what this could turn into later, and I don't need the money from anything, but there are people that do, and I feel so badly for them if they're forced to have a baby.
All right. Terry, thanks. I'll tell you, I'll take a short break. When we come back, if you want to stay on, we'll respond to you. We'll dive right into that, and we'll get your call. So if you're on hold, I know our phones are pretty busy here. Stay with me. We'll do our very best to get you on. We're taking a look at Joe Biden and Catholic politicians right now. And Dr. Paul Kengor, my guest, wrote an article saying, look, if you voted for any of these candidates, you need to do reparation. We'll unpack that as well and address some of the points that Terry just brought up. Stay with us. That and more straight ahead.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester. All things current. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me today. It's good to be with you. If you're just tuning in, we're taking a look at our leadership, our Catholic leaders in particular, and I'm talking about those who hold high office and have the ability to enact legislation or to veto it. And of course, I'm referring to Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, amongst others who carry the moniker of being Catholic. And yet by their actions and by the position that they hold, really move in a way that's diametrically opposed to everything that the Catholic Church teaches and holds. And I personally think it brings scandal. My guest today, Dr. Paul Kengor, he actually wrote an article called Catholics Who Voted for Biden, It's Time to Make Reparation. And I do want to get to his article and talk a little bit about that. We've seen a real movement towards the left with the president, current president, from positions he once held when he was running for office. And you know, it's confusing. It's just downright confusing. But, Doctor, our last caller, Terry, was on. She's recently dropped. But I do want to address some of those issues that she had.
Sure.
And let's pick up on what she had to say. You and I were talking during the break, but I'll give you the platform first.
Yeah. Well, and let me add on the scandal point. I mean, imagine me here at a largely Protestant Christian college, and I've got people coming up to me saying, "What's up with your bishops? And your they're going to give this guy communion? Look at what he's doing on abortion. He's not like passively pro-choice. I mean, he's vowing to put the whole of the federal government against this bill." He's like, they're thinking to themselves, my friends are thinking to themselves, well, we got a Catholic president, but at least the Catholic Church is pro-life. They're like, this couldn't be more audacious and outrageous. I had a student in one of my classes come up to me and say, you know, I was raised Catholic, and this is why my family left the Catholic Church, because of politicians like Biden and the church's refusal to stop it. So it's creating scandal. And you know that people like Cardinal Gregory and Washington, they really want to give Biden communion. They don't want a scandal. They don't want confrontation. And someone like Cardinal Gregory's got to look at this, Drew, and say, what's he doing to me? Right? I'm trying to give the guy an out here. I don't want to be seen as divisive or, you know, weaponizing the Eucharist or politicizing the Eucharist. And Biden comes forward and does this, right? I mean, this is crazy. And to Terry's point, Terry's phone call, first of all, the pro-life movement is filled with people who do take care of the child after the child is born. It is. I'm involved in so many pro-life ministries. They're not just about saving the baby, letting the baby be born, and then walking away. That's not true, as everyone in the pro-life movement knows. I mean, my wife and I, we had 6 of our own kids, and then we decided we'd adopt 2. Adoption is led by pro-lifers, not by pro-choicers. And I'll say one more thing about Terry's phone call. Even if I were to concede every point that she made about Republicans and Democrats and healthcare and so forth, that doesn't detract from my main point here today, which is that pro-life Catholic Biden voters like her, you need to now step forward and hold your guy accountable. You need to make amends. You need to try to help fix this for the good of your church, the country, the culture, and especially for the unborn. And if you silently accept this, what Biden did, if you do nothing, you're only going to make the situation worse. You're aiding and abetting it.
Yep,
and as I say at the conclusion of my article, and really, why wouldn't you do something? Why wouldn't you say something in protest to this? But my experience with people on the pro-choice side is they will sit there in silence. They won't say anything. They'll let this politician get away with it, and they're only going to make it worse. And by the way, they do this on all the marriage and gender issues, too. But they do it especially on abortion.
I also think we have an obligation as followers of Christ.
It's an obligation, right?
You know, as good Catholics in particular, to hold these politicians accountable. And I think great scandal comes when a politician like Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden or others who hold office, Ted Kennedy, whoever it may have been, advance policy that's diametrically opposed to everything the church teaches. And I say that because Catholics aren't well-formed. We know how confused they are over the true presence alone. You know, 3/4 of Catholics don't believe in the true presence. So when you see somebody like this, you think, oh, well, he's a Catholic. I guess it's okay to believe in abortion. And when you put it into perspective in the numbers, you know, last year, over 8 million people died from cancer. Almost 43 million innocent unborn children were killed as a result of abortion. And there's all these policies to end cancer, to you know, wrap up COVID, to do all these other things. There's a whole segment of our population that are vulnerable. They're human beings that are being destroyed.
That's a great point. Hey, how many? We've lost 700,000 Americans, right? That's the COVID estimate since 2019. How many unborn babies have been aborted during that time? At least double that number. Because it averages at least 1 million a year.
Actually, since
1973, about a million and a half a year.
Yep,
and exactly. Yet you point this kind of stuff out to them, and they just bark at you. Well, what about you rich Republicans and complaining about Trump and his tweets? Okay, all right, you don't like Republicans, you don't like Trump, that's cool, that's fine. But your guy that you voted for is doing something incredibly harmful on abortion, and he's doing it as a Catholic. It is an incredible embarrassment to our church, an incredible. It's a scandal. And my guess is that he got 81 million votes, and you know, and a lot of those were Catholic votes. And my guess is, I'm not trying to be mean, that at least 90% of the pro-life Catholics who voted for him will not write a letter to the White House. They won't call the White House switchboard. They won't write a letter to their senator or member of Congress. They're not going to go on Facebook and say this isn't why. They're probably going to sit in silent acquiescence,
yep,
of this. And you can't do that. That's not an option. It's not right.
You know, I don't know whether people are disillusioned, whether or not they're deceiving themselves, or whether it's true. I mean, when you put aside this issue, which is just so plain, it's so clear, I don't know how you can get around it. A child is in the womb. Anyone who's pregnant knows they're having a baby, right? We know it's a, and yet we make excuses for saying, okay, I'm going to put this politician into office, even though he's going to do everything he can. You pointed out in your article, they're going to throw the weight of the government against the state of Texas because of what they have done. They're going to do everything in their power to codify and enshrine this culture of death. I don't know how anybody in good conscience can go ahead and do that. And I don't care how much you hate a person that tweets, or how irritating or how arrogant that person might be. You know, what happened to principle? What happened to morality? You got to put your own personal agenda and your emotions aside and do what's right for the common good.
Well, and as you say this, so people can watch out for my next piece for Crisis Magazine. It'll be in maybe tomorrow or the day after. And it's on the new governor in New York, Andrew Cuomo's successor. And she's Catholic, too. And she came out last week and she told the women of Texas on national television, come to New York and we'll give you abortions. Come to New York, we'll give you an abortion. In Albany, she's 1,800 miles from the Texas border, Drew. And she said, we are even taking steps in New York to look to see if we can arrange transportation to help get the women of Texas to New York to get abortions. That woman is a Catholic who's doing that. A Catholic. And why is she doing it? Because Catholic voters,
that's right,
priests, bishops, cardinals are letting her get away with it.
These
just
politicians,
as they did to Andrew Cuomo, right? When he lit up the city of New York, the state of New York, the Freedom Tower in pink to celebrate their abortion bill in January 2019, and pro-life Catholic voters kept voting for him and voting for him. They silently do this. They let him get away with it, and they're going to let Biden get away with it, too.
Well, these politicians sell their souls. They do it for power, for fame, for whatever the agenda is.
And their voters greenlight it.
And you know what?
So
do their voters. You know, the voters are just as guilty. These men and women only have that office because you put them there. You put them there. And we'll all stand before God. Life, you know, our actions have a ripple effect. I've spoken to several people who've had near-death experiences. And when they've come back from the other side, they see the ripple effect of the decisions and the actions they made. One man died. He had a heart attack, and he was on his way to the hospital. He was out now for 10 minutes. They're trying to revive him. He had this life review, and he saw actions he did when he was a young boy and how they rippled out. Not only did it affect the individual that he hurt, but how it hurt others. And I think we're going to experience the same thing. When we stand before God one day, we're going to see what we made our priority, what God we truly honored, you know, and how we voted, and the things we've done, how we spent our money, those all have consequences. And we're going to have to account for them. We can deceive ourselves and say that's not the case, but we certainly will. And that's why, to your point in your article here, and we'll jump back into the phones, Doctor, reparation is so important. It's something that, the angels have often said in the apparitions to many of these kids. Our Lady has spoken about the need to do penance in Fatima. Reparation is so important to make atonement for the sins that this country has embraced.
Right.
Whether you voted for Biden or not, I think we should all be doing penance and reparation for our country. But to your point, let's speak about the spiritual aspect of this. Why is it so important for people to do reparation?
No. That's exactly right. And if this had been my vote, I'd feel sick about it right now, and I'd be out trying to right the wrong. Right? This is part of healing. It's part of being a Christian. It's part of being a Catholic. Right? And you don't even need your confessor to tell you this. I don't know how people could. And maybe it could be that if all you do is watch like CNN and MSNBC, actually, you don't even have that excuse. The current governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, she was on MSNBC with Lawrence O'Donnell last week when she went out and she made the invitation to the women of Texas to come to New York for abortions. So they know it. Their voters know it. This isn't just like something you only hear about at Fox.
Right.
So they now need to step forward and try to do something about
mm-hmm.
it.
All right, let's jump back in the phones. We'll grab a few more calls. Thank you for your patience. I know if you are on hold, I'm going to do my best to get you on there, and I appreciate your patience. Kim's listening to us in New Jersey. Kim, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Oh, my goodness. I feel so compelled to call because I think I'm surprised at the other women that called previously. I'm a Catholic. There's many things about my religion that was never taught. But I think I'm surprised to hear their responses. And I feel badly that I think a lot of the information that is being told is lying. And I think that unfortunately, you know, if you don't look outside the box, you're not going to get that information. But I feel badly because I was almost shocked to hear the responses. And I feel I understand what they're saying because I think that, yes, there's poor people out there and they're not being treated properly. And I feel like we're so far away from Jesus Christ on so many levels that, you know, if we were just all Catholics were behaving like Jesus wanted us to love one another as he has loved us, we wouldn't be in this predicament. We wouldn't be having these conversations. We wouldn't be...
Right. We got to walk the talk. And, Kim, to your point, though, you're right. I mean, it's not just about those who don't have enough to eat or women having a child. It's about the unborn as well. It's about all those issues. And as Catholics, we have an obligation to care for everyone. I think you bring up a great point. Doctor, I'll let you respond to her.
Well, and this goes back to Susie's call, the first call, and you know which I really appreciated her sincerity and honesty, and what also Terry's call too. But issues like the best health care policy, quote unquote health care policy, these are prudential things. We have debates over these, right? Over taxes, over cutting taxes, over the best way to help the poor, whether through private sector programs. You know, I favor the Catholic principle of subsidiarity, right?
Yeah,
whatever can be done by a closer organization, smaller, more local, closer to the problem, you know, that's what ought to do it. That's how it should be handled. We can argue over, you know, the immigration debate isn't over whether or not, you know, Donald Trump hates people south of the border, right? I mean, Trump was actually enforcing the immigration quotas that were established by Congress, right, which other presidents haven't in the past. So, you know, so these are debates over quite literally numbers, number of people that can be accepted and so forth. But something like abortion and it is a non-negotiable. I mean, the Catechism is very clear on this. The Church is very clear on it. Pope Francis on the airplane last week made a couple statements, again, that are controversial and got him in trouble. But if you read the actual transcript, he very solidly defended the right to life again. And once again, for the umpteenth time, Drew, compared procuring an abortion to hiring a hitman, right?
Yeah,
so the Church is very, very clear on this. One thing that you can't do, that no one should debate at all, is what Biden is vowing to do right now. Throw the whole of the federal government, as he put it, the best lawyers in the country, on overturning Texas trying to protect unborn babies in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
This is something everyone should be able to stand up and condemn. And if you voted for the guy and you're not condemning it and you're not trying to correct it, then you are not doing the right thing, period.
Yeah. You know, we reap what we sow. You know, if you vote,
right,
as a population, 80 million supposed votes went to Joe Biden, then we're going to get the policies that we currently have, the spending, but most importantly, the most vulnerable amongst us, the unborn, are the ones that are in the crosshairs of that ballot. And when you cast it, you put people with a culture of death mindset that want to codify and sanctify and enshrine and you know, make forever abortion in this country. There's consequence for that. And the only way I think we're going to hold back the hand of God is by doing reparation. I got to take a quick break. My guest today, Dr. Paul Kengor, he wrote a piece which we're going to put up for you on our Twitter page. I hope you'll go to @DrewMarianiShow and check it out. Great read. Catholics who voted for Biden, he says, time to make reparation. He makes the case for it. When I come back, we'll grab more of your calls. It's always good to have you here. Thank you for your patience. The conversation continues right after this. Proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Your life,
your life,
your values, connected.
Connected.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So great to be with you. If you missed any part of the conversation, relevantradio.com, do a search for my name and you'll bring it to our podcasts. You can also go to our Twitter account. Please follow us there. It's great to have you. You can follow me at Drew Mariani. You can follow the show at Drew Mariani Show. And we've posted, Maggie, I hope you've gotten Dr. Kengor's article up. I think you might have. Catholics Who Voted for Biden, Time to Make Reparation, one of his latest. It was a Crisis magazine, and Maggie is telling me that it is up. Talking about that issue and why it is really important to ask God for his mercy and hold back his hand of justice on us. Doctor, let's jump back into the phones. We'll go to Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island. Elizabeth's been waiting to talk with you for a while. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I can't agree more with your guest. Thank you so much for bringing this out. I actually voted for Trump in 2016. I could not believe I really did that, but I was pleased with his policies, and I ended up I just decided I'm going to vote on policies and not personality. And I was disappointed with the outcome, and I'm thoroughly disappointed with Biden as president. I think that my heart is pounding so much. I have so much to say, but I think that you know, with technology, we know a lot more now than we did in the 1970s. And life, I 100% agree that life begins at conception. I probably am about the same age as the first two callers, and I, like Kim in New Jersey, was a little upset with what they were saying. I don't think that Planned Parenthood is tied in with caring about the health care of women. It's all about murder. And I just am so glad that your guest has come out and written what he's written, and that you are having him on your show.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, thanks, Elizabeth. I appreciate that. And you know, Drew, that it's so totally true what she's saying. I mean, back in the early 70s or when Roe v. Wade was passed, 1973, 60s or whenever, people were saying, feminists were saying, well, it's just a blob of tissue, right? Mm-hmm. But now with ultrasound technology, and you know, the other side is all the time giving these fancy names to bills that advance abortion, right? Calling it right. Women's health or whatever else. This Texas
justice.
Bill, yeah. This Texas bill, this is not propaganda. To call it a heartbeat bill is actually true. Once you hear a heartbeat, they consider that human life that ought to be protected. Mm-hmm. So there's no playing with language there. Right? It's an actual heartbeat. And today in 2021, when we have ultrasound technology and we know that what's inside the womb there is a baby, a fully formed baby in the womb, human being in the womb early on after you know, just a few weeks, we really have no excuse now. And yet here we are at a time when we have no excuse. And the people in Biden's party are getting more extreme on the issue. You would think that Biden, who was not horrendous on abortion in the late 70s and 80s, and would by now have moved more to the middle. Instead, he's moving further to the extreme, in the direction of what John Paul II called the death culture. So it's really disappointing. And voters who voted for him need to stop it. If they want to call themselves pro-life in any way whatsoever.
All right. Stan's listening in Nevada. He serves in the National Guard. Stan, good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Kengor.
Hey, thank you, Drew. Yeah, I served 30 years in the National Guard, and I've been a Democrat. I was a Democrat my entire life, but I voted for Trump in 2016 because of the debate with Hillary Clinton when he said he was against abortion. But having said that, what concerns me right now is I couldn't see why my peers and all my friends and family couldn't see what I could see coming in California with the National Guard, the way that it's been cozying up with the Joint Chief of Staff, Milley, before he became the Joint Chief of Staff, and I saw them becoming radicalized. And then I saw this gubernatorial commander-in-chief where they're pulling troops off the border and they're pulling blue troops off the – or blue states are not sending their troops to the border to support Trump. And so what really has concerned me about that, especially with them having a military and the sort of philosophy of the Democrats, is what happens on December 1st if the Supreme Court doesn't go that way? What lengths will they go? Will the Biden start, you know, calling in the National Guard, federalizing the National Guard to close down the states? He's already basically doing that with sort of like a blockade, if you will, of denying medications and life-saving medications in Texas. But having said that, I think that there is a time for reparations because it's like the antebellum of the Civil War. All the issues are the same. Abortion's that core issue that's sort of like slavery. It could end up being in a shooting war, and it really could. And that's what really concerns me because all my peers, they used to, you know, when you start going to our Constitution, that foundation is that Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature, nature's God, rights mm-hmm. bestowed by God. And my peers flipped the other way, so they're no longer serving that Constitution. So what happens now? You got fired, and I think that we could relive history. I think it's a time for reparations and for people to pray because I don't know how far this president would go, and that's why I voted against Biden, because I was afraid of this.
Stan, thank you. Doctor, I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I hope we'll never see that. I don't think we would today. I mean, but Stan's concern is legitimate, and following up on that, too, is you have to take a look at what Abraham Lincoln did during the Civil War and afterwards. He called for prayer and fasting. He called for reparation. So what you're saying is spot on the money, Doctor. But let's talk about the possibility of America ever erupting into a civil war over some of these issues. Do you ever see that happening?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hear that all the time. It's hard to imagine it playing out that way.
I find it really hard to imagine.
Yeah, but you know, one thing about Biden, there's this image of Sleepy Joe, right? Of somebody who's allegedly not competent, who had no idea what was going on in Afghanistan. And then on the other hand, right, when it comes to mask mandates, forced vaccination, using an OSHA regulation to try to get every business over 100 employees to forcibly vaccinate, against religious exemptions, and then comes out aggressively promising to throw the whole of the federal government after a state which is trying to implement its own laws to protect unborn babies. So you see all of that, and Sleepy Joe ain't so sleepy. You know, Passive Joe ain't so passive. He's aggressive. He's on the march. He's marshaling the full force of the federal government, and it's very disconcerting. It really is.
All right, we'll go back to the phones, grab another quick call or two. Again, my guest today, Dr. Paul Kengor, and you ought to check out his article. It's a good one. And it's a call to reparation. It's a tough call, Doctor. I think when people see some of that articles, that probably pushes their buttons. But let's go to Corky listening in Michigan. Corky, thank you for your patience.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Drew and Dr. Paul. I'm trying to be charitable. I hope I am. But I'll tell you what, those two ladies, Susie and Terry, hey, gals, I'm 75, so I got you beat. Anyhow, yes, rosaries are needed, but let me tell you something. Right now, these people who call themselves Catholic and voted for Biden, they're getting exactly what they voted for. They knew what they were doing when they did it, and this really makes me sick because these women, it's very arrogant. They don't understand the effects of the women that have the abortions afterwards. Mm. Some of these women are suffering years and years and years afterwards, and I'll tell you what, have they ever wondered Have these women that voted for Biden ever wondered what happens to these women afterwards, how they suffer, how they are sad? And I'll tell you what, did these women ever have a baby shower when they were pregnant? Did they ever show their pictures of their grandchildren? How about, did they ever watch an abortion? I would like to see them sit there and watch an actual abortion and then say, yeah, let's have an abortion. There's nothing to it. It just makes me sick, Drew. It really does. And I'll tell you what, there's lots of organizations out there that help babies after they're born and the mothers. I live in a small town. Well, I tell you what, we've got three food pantries, and right in the next town over, there's a nice non-profit organization that has clothing that we donate to, new clothing, and they have employment opportunities and education. Yes, ladies.
Corky.
Those ladies, yeah.
I'm so glad you called. No, I have less than a minute. I want to thank you for your call because you summarized so many important points that needed to be part of the conversation. Doctor, I have 30 seconds for you. I'm going to give you the final words.
Well, you know, what happens to these women? That's exactly right. And also with Biden, what happens as a result of gender transitioning, which he's also pushing, right? Young people getting their breasts cut off, hormone treatments. You know, a lot of this, no, they don't seem to think it all the way through. And as far as the voters, they are getting what they voted for and far worse. And now they need to step up and make reparation.
Now you got to hold it right there. Check out his article. I'm out of time for the day. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you.